¿Cómo estás?
Je m'appelle Bijou.
Doesn't sound like Spanish.
I took French. I did not take Spanish.
I took Spanish, but wasn't very good at it. But neither is Michael.
No, Michael is not. But he's trying because he's going off to Cancun. So we're talking about the cold open here of season 6, episode 23. The episode Body Language, originally airing April 29th, 2010. This time, it's directed by Mindy Kaling.
She's had a busy couple of episodes.
Two or three episodes ago, she also wrote that one. And then she wrote the previous episode. And now she's directing this one.
I have a question about the Cancun Open.
Okay.
So he says he's going to go on vacation. He doesn't go on vacation next week. I haven't seen this episode in a long time, and I thought that he was already like with Donna, and they were going to Cancun together, but that's not what this is. It's just like a random cold open.
Yeah, I thought that too until I started watching. I was like, oh, they haven't even gotten together yet. I think it's because he tends to take, you know, minor romantic interests on, you know, tropical vacations at random.
Tan everywhere, Jane everywhere.
Cancun everywhere. I don't know what rhymes with that. Terrible. Failing in the joke department.
Mm. You and Pam have that in common.
Oh, she's terrible this episode.
You know, maybe there's an opportunity for a joke there. Like, I just delivered a baby. They didn't offer me a guarantee.
Yeah, maybe we don't even need that.
And maybe it's like the joke when you become a parent, you just get unfunny.
Yeah. Pam's got dad jokes.
She does. Pam does. She caught dad joke. That's her disease this episode. Before we get into the main episode, though, I do want to talk about Michael's sticky notes all over the office.
Yeah, so he is, as Oscar explains, he's struggling with the gender part of Spanish.
La telefona. El teléfono.
Where nouns have gender assigned to them. And Oscar's like, well, just put the, you know, the sign for male and female on them. And you'll be fine. You know, the little stick figures. I never remember which one is which. I don't know. So like, I wouldn't have done what Michael does, but I understand Michael's confusion.
I mean, the male one's pretty obvious.
I guess.
Like, which is which? One's looks like a standy person and the other is like, ba-ding. Oh. I mean, look at the arrow Let's shape. See. I mean, look
okay.
at it.
Yeah.
It looks just like it. It does. Now you'll never forget now.
I guess not. But Michael draws other things.
Your office is full of genitalia.
Oh, eso es lo que dice él.
That's what he says.
Damn it.
If it's a learning tool,
sure.
It's okay. Tool, a learning tool.
But he has covered his whole office in sticky notes. Like the key, like all the keys are covered, his entire computer's covered. Angela comes in and it's so perfect. He calls her Angelo, and she's like, no, Angela. So she gets a sticky note with boobs on it attached to her forehead, which she does not like.
I was also thinking, like, during this, if he's going off to Cancun, why does he need to know all the Spanish words for office equipment?
Yeah. Well, you never know. You know, there may be a...
Practice,
there,
right?
There
Practice.
May be a copier issue at the front desk when he's checking in. He can help
oh,
him out.
Yeah, that could be his move.
He's the Superman of paper.
There we go. That's it. So the main part of this episode, this was a real cold open. Like, we thought it was going to be a warm open because we thought they were going to Cancun.
Hot right? open, really.
Yep, hot tropical open. But it turned out to be a regular, shut up. It turned out to be a regular cold open. And we have someone coming into the office to get a sales pitch from Jim and Pam. They're prepping sales pitches together. This is where we see a few of Pam's horrible, horrible jokes. And even Jim is like, who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I think we're going to work really well together.
Yeah. I think we have complementary strengths. We understand each other.
We have good give and take. I give, he takes.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yay.
It turns out that Donna, who is the woman that Michael met at the fake Dave and Buster's for the night out episode, is coming in to buy some printers. Suspicious.
Got to print at the bar, you know? Yeah. Paperwork to do.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, receipts. I mean, that's a different kind of printer, though.
Yeah. That's a, what do they call it? That's a...
ticker tape? That's a parade.
No, it's a thermal printer. They don't use ink. They use heat to expose the letters.
Here we are. Somehow I manage printer talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot about these things. Thermal printers.
There we go. That's good to know. Actually, we should have a little corner where we all learn about, you know, paper and paper products. You could just have like a little sidebar. Oh, in the margins. The margins of our podcast. It's like margins of paper. Yeah.
Really good.
All right.
Okay, so
I'll have to prep that for next week.
Okay,
a little class.
I'm looking forward to that. So Jim and Pam are gonna work on the sales pitch together, which Dwight is a little upset with. You know, he's the top salesperson; he should be able to do this. And Michael's like, "Well, I want the best face on the company," and Dwight's like, "They haven't even cut the face off anything."
If you want people to put the best face on something, why would you get two people who probably have never cut the face off of anything in their lives?
That's a good point.
It's true. Dwight has experience with cutting off faces multiple times.
The thing is, I'm not even sure this is a callback to CPR. I think this is a callback to something Dwight just does at the farm.
It's probably also a callback to CPR. Oh, it has to be, because that was such a killer episode.
Yeah.
So I think we should take this episode. We do have a very distinct A and B plot going on. We have Donna showing up to buy some printers and Michael attempting to seduce her. And then we also have Gabe, who's going around the office talking to all of the minority workers and asking them to join a print in all colors initiative from Saber. So let's maybe follow the Donna train.
Okay.
And then we'll get on the
Gabe train.
Gabe train. Sure.
I don't want to get on the Gabe train.
It's so sinewy.
So Donna comes into the office and Michael introduces her to Jim and Pam. He calls them the Wonder Twins, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I can see it." Like, no, like we're married. And Angela has this comment of like,
"I knew it. You should see their baby."
Yeah, she jumps right on that. She was just like, oh, finally someone says it. So this presentation, Michael has set up a bunch of slides that are in an attempt to put Donna in a mood, like into a sexy mood, into a, you know, adult playtime kind of mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this whole thing, all right, maybe I should start it off with a question instead of just like going point by point. What team are you on here? So let me further detail this. There's Team Jim, where he believes that Donna is not interested, and the only reason she seems to be flirting with Michael is to get some sort of discount on the printers and paper that they're trying to sell her. Team Pam is that you can have both, that she can both be interested in Michael and also be flirting to get a little bit of a discount and what she wants. Where are you on this? How do you read this situation?
I read it mostly like Jim, that Michael is reading too much into this, and also that Michael's been inappropriate.
See, I totally read it like Pam.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. She's like, Donna's putting it out there, like, total, full on. She showed up ready. She's just like...
Well, I think we agree on that. I mean, yes, she is flirting with him, but I think it's just to get a discount.
No, because like if she just wanted a discount, then she would have just like chatted with him over the phone.
Maybe.
I don't feel like she's going to be buying that much to want a discount. I totally think she's there way more for Michael than she is there for
Saber.
For the printers. Because like, oh, she picked his name out of the bowl in the previous episode. She said, "Come in when I'm working." She comes all the way to the office to buy printers from some guy she's not interested in. And like Pam brings up, there were multiple opportunities where she could have left because of the inappropriate things that Michael was doing, but she didn't. Like, he puts all those slides up that are extremely obvious. Even one of them flashes the word sex at one point. He's standing in front of like this really buff guy with abs and having the projector kind of like project onto himself. He like leans in really close to her all the time. Like, it's just, there's so much, as the episode title indicates, there's so much body language going on. She's clearly interested in him.
I'm not saying she's in love with him, but she could have left a while ago. Most printer sales are done over the phone, Ms. Boobshirt.
My theory is that she is hesitant and not going like full on just all of a sudden like making out with him in the office is because other people are watching and the cameras are there. So I feel like she's trying to get Michael to have game and maybe like invite her somewhere or go somewhere else, or, you know, get the hint that like, hey, I'm into you, but let's go somewhere, not stay in the office as Michael is trying to woo her. But she could have totally left. Like, every single moment she could have totally left and she didn't.
I can see that. Maybe you've won me over. I still think Michael's being creepy and that he should stop. But
he is being way too forward for the environment.
Yeah.
But I feel like he treats this office like it's his home. He's also been being filmed, if you think about it, for like 6 years. And so the idea of the cameras being around means nothing to him. Also, he has a lower level of embarrassment than most people. And so I feel like it's not totally, he's not reading the wrong signals like he has in the past. I feel a little bit bad for him. I feel bad that he gets confused because I don't think she's giving confusing signals.
I mean,
he just has bad game.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And there's another reason she's maybe hesitant that we learn in the coming episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Which we don't know currently.
We don't know that yet. So we don't know.
We don't know that yet. So, yeah. So they are doing this sales pitch. Michael's in and out. He has those slides that you mentioned. He also comes in and is like, hey, do you shop at Victoria's Secret? I keep getting these catalogs to the woman who used to live in my condo before me. I think that's Jan. I think that's Jan's magazine.
Oh, no. I wonder if the props department had a good time and actually put like Jan's name on it.
And she accepts that and takes it. So, you know, there's definitely some flirting going on. This is the first point where Michael's really inappropriate, like leans forward to kiss her and she doesn't.
She looks like she was going in for it, and then she notices everyone watching, and then she pulls away.
But so Jim and Pam like drag him into his office of like, and this is where we get Jim on one side, Pam on the other, like you said.
You didn't see it, Pam. She was giving me all sorts of signals that she wanted me to make a move.
Well, maybe you shouldn't try to kiss people at work.
Oh, really, Jim? What about Pam? And you did a heck of a lot more than kiss. Maybe this could be my Pam.
Okay, well, all that is irrelevant.
Maybe Michael has a point. I mean, if she was really that upset, she wouldn't still be here.
I also really like the interaction of what's going on kind of in the conference room with Michael trying to flirt with Donna and everyone in the bullpen, like, watching them like zoo animals.
Look at that. She's totally flirting with him.
Like, trying to analyze what is actually going on. And we get some wonderful lines from Phyllis.
You don't know that. Some people can't help oozing sexuality.
And I get that. There are people like that. It's a totally legit thing that Phyllis sees. Maybe she sees herself a little bit like that, which I think is pretty great.
I think she definitely sees herself like that.
She just oozes. You just can't help it. Like, she just oozes sexuality. And we have a nice little Creed closet moment where Creed chimes in about pondering the meaning of ooze.
You ever notice you can only ooze two things, sexuality and pus?
Yeah, you can only ooze two things.
I mean, really, I don't think of anything else that is associated with ooze.
Ooh, I don't like that word.
I mean, ectoplasm?
Stop!
Ninja Turtles? What?
Ooze is gross.
I didn't even say ooze. I said ectoplasm.
Now I'm thinking about ooze.
Like Slimer. Yeah, the Ghostbusters ooze.
It's true.
There we go. Oh, maybe Double Dare? Double Dare has ooze.
I feel like generally, if you were being oozed upon, you probably don't want it.
Ooze feels so 90s, actually. Like, it's like 90s TV.
Yeah, it's a Nickelodeon word.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. so I do like that everyone is kind of, you know, trying to figure it out, because it is kind of a head scratcher here. Pam brings up various attributes of her outfit that she's wearing that might indicate things. People are talking about, again, her body language. It's kind of fascinating to watch because it is happening in front of everybody. And there are kind of mixed signals going on. So I think I would totally be in on this game of like trying to figure out this is the current, I don't know, like can't look away car wreck TV show that's happening in the office.
It is like a car wreck. That's true. So they, you know, they're going back and forth. She flat out like asks for a discount.
With a hair flip and a taking off of the jacket to reveal the shoulder cutouts.
Oscar weighs in, is like, no, we can't do this. Like, we will lose money on this sale. And again, more people are getting in on this, thinking that, I think basically everybody but Pam thinks that, you know, Michael's getting played by this woman. And then we get some love advice from Kevin. Kevin's advice is offer her a mint. And if she says no, she's not interested. She says yes, then she is, because she wants her breath to be nice.
Oh, it's the mint test.
The mint test, as it's known. Kevin's mint test.
Famous Kevin's mint
Minty
test.
Minty Kevin. And so Michael does this. They're in, now Michael and Donna are in his office looking over the contract, and he offers her a mint.
Do you like mints?
Yes.
I carry mints with me sometimes.
Oh, I haven't tried those. No.
They're good.
You want one?
Sure.
That's like a tone of voice that Steve Carell uses sometimes as playing Michael, when Michael is like saying something that's definitely a lie, but feels like he has to say it to sell something. It's great. Very quietly. I carry them in my pocket sometimes. It's like, no, you don't.
So he offers her this mint. She takes it. And then, I'm sorry, she continues flirting. Like, oh, I'm going to read the mint tin and make a little joke about the wording. I mean, come on. I've so done that. Like, it's really, really obvious. I mean, maybe. Oh, no. I've just had a realization.
Have you ever paid full price for a printer?
Maybe not. I also have shirts like that. Anyway, yeah, so they're totally flirting. They're totally flirting. But she holds out the mint for Michael to take from her hand. Oh, my God. My printer is actually printing right now.
Wow, it knows.
So she has the mint on her hands extended. She doesn't even just hand it to him. She's just like flirty reading the mint tin and holding out her hand with the mint on it. Michael makes the poorest choice here. Or if they were alone, maybe it would have been a great choice, like a great sexy flirty choice. I don't know. But he leans over and takes it out of her hand with his mouth.
I was going to say, he like slurps it out of her hand.
Michael.
I mean, a much smoother, sexier move would have been for him to like pick it up from her fingers and like brush her fingers with his. That's much better. But no, he goes for full, I'm going to eat out of your hand like a horse.
Yeah.
Like you're at a petting zoo.
This is something like a 4-year-old would do, thinking it's funny.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Maybe just maybe when my kids were 4, they just did a lot of this stuff. But yeah, it does not have the effect that he wishes it had.
But she still doesn't leave. She still stays. She still doesn't leave. He ate a mint out of her hand and she still doesn't leave. How do you interpret that? Like,
maybe her hands were dry.
Oh, Stephen.
Anyways, everyone is still like, Michael, like, this is over. Do not try again. This is a workplace. And Pam's like, you know, it's unlikely, but not impossible. And everyone's like, come on, Pam. Like, Jim is just in like full on, like not understanding where she's coming from.
She does not like him.
You can flirt with someone to get what you want and also be attracted to them. How do you think we got together?
Because I stop by your desk like 15 times a day.
I was after your money.
Well, the joke was on you.
Yes, it was.
You know, it's kind of a fun back and forth to them.
It's a very settled relationship. And I think that that's why we're seeing all of these like punny jokes and the dad jokes. And so we're seeing them not in this like super romantic, flirty, like sexy phase together, which is what we're seeing in contrast with Michael and Donna, even though it's, I guess, it's just a confusing flirty moment. But still, she's totally trying to get his attention. But yet we're seeing, you know, the settled relationship of Jim and Pam at the same time.
So what you're saying is Jim needs to buy some mints.
Yeah. And Pam should eat it out of his hand a little.
So Donna's getting ready to leave. Again, everyone's watching them. She puts her hand out to shake his hand, and then they go to reception, and then...
But they're so close. They're so close when they shake hands. Like, she stands so close to him, and she has to put her hand out like her elbow is still touching her body. Like, that's how close they are. So that's on her. They were very close.
Michael tries to stall. It's like, oh, do you need parking verification? Oh, we don't do that. We just have a parking lot. You know, trying just to hold on just a few more moments. They hug by reception. I think he hugs a little too long.
Yeah, that he does hug too long. I agree.
And then she's going to just walk out the door peacefully. Nothing else weird is going to happen.
Michael follows her out the door way too close. And see, here it feels really awkward, like she's just trying to leave. But she's not trying super hard to leave. Like, she's still, like, turned around and, like, facing him and flirty. She doesn't just, like, turn around and walk out the door. She kind of, like, waits and, like, hangs back. And he gets way too close. And they kind of get caught up in the door. And it's really awkward. But it's, like, I feel like she's waiting for him to ask her to go somewhere together or to go out or something. I feel like she's lingering.
Yeah.
I feel like she's lingering. And it gets awkward because Michael has no game, but yeah. I feel like that's what she's waiting for.
Have a nice elevator ride.
So if there's any other questions that you have.
I don't have any other questions. I'm just going to make my way down to... Okay.
All right. Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good elevator ride.
Okay. She could have just turned and walked out the door. She could have shaken hands, turned and gone, you know, like beeline. But she doesn't.
She doesn't. Maybe we leave them here and we go visit Kelly and we'll come back and wrap up with the end of the episode.
Sure. Sounds great. So during all of this flirting and selling of printers, Gabe is on a mission to have someone join in this training program that the new owner, Saber, have to offer. Anybody who is a minority can join in this print in all colors initiative. And so Gabe is trying to essentially recruit for this. He goes to Daryl first, and it seems like Daryl is pretty interested, but Dwight gets involved in this, and is it that he's feeling threatened, or he tries to join the initiative himself, gets shot down, because obviously he is not a minority, even though he tries to be.
He has four reasons he thinks he should be in the program.
And what are those reasons, Stephen?
He's a glasses wearer, cholera survivor, a genius, and a non-organic family farmer.
I'm thinking only one of those might actually be a minority. I mean, cholera survivor, that one's unique.
I guess, depending on the year. But
I mean, how many cholera survivors are still alive?
All of them. Cholera didn't get them, if you think about it.
That's true. Yeah, if cholera didn't get them, then just time did. So realizing, Dwight, now that he realizes he can't actually benefit from this in any way, then he decides that he'd rather have someone join in this program. And I guess he's imagining this whole executive training program means that, like, they're going to come back here to this office and be the executive, which isn't really how it's going to work, but that's how Dwight takes it. And he rather have someone who he sees that he can be the puppet master of, as opposed to someone like Daryl, who is more headstrong and competent.
One minority from this branch is going to get into this program. Who would I prefer? The competent, hardworking one who does things his own way? Or the malleable simpleton who can be bought for a few fashion magazines?
Dwight decides to get Kelly involved in this, and we see him going over to Kelly. She is currently on the phone with a customer service person, which is funny because she's in customer service and she's treating them extremely badly, trying to return a dress. And Dwight, convinces her to join in this program. And so she can be a competition to Daryl.
Yeah, he wants to be a puppet master without it backfiring, as he says later. And he should have known better than to pick Kelly to puppet master, because it just doesn't work out for him at all. He like sits down with her. He's going to do this interview. He gets one question in, and then I guess that was just the end of it because she insulted him.
How has being a minority affected you?
Well, there's a lot of pressure from my parents to settle down and marry an Indian guy.
Oh, good. And you resent this because...
Indian guys always wear their cell phones outside their pants. It's so dorky.
No. That's not dorky. Look, it's easily accessible. Boom, like this. 911, hello, Scranton Strangler's in the house. Inside the house.
Just put it in your pocket.
I love this. The camera like pans and zooms into Dwight's belt. He's like, no, it's great. It's for quick access.
Which is where we get a reference to the Scranton Strangler again.
Yes.
We're amping up the references now. Almost every single episode since Night Out has had references to this, right?
Yeah.
Maybe before that. No, since the birth.
That's
since
right. That's the first one.
Jim and Pam's delivery. That's right. Yeah. I mean, we've been mentioning it nonstop because
someone on this podcast, Toby, not me, is obsessed with it.
I am a white middle class lady. Like, I am supposed to be obsessed with true crime.
I'm in the wrong kind of podcast business. Unfortunately for Dwight, though, Ryan gets involved and basically takes over her training for this meeting.
You know, we really should keep practicing for this interview.
Oh, it's okay. Ryan coached me.
Ryan? What does he know?
It's easy. You just turn every question around on them. Do you think you're treated differently because of your race?
Would you ask that same question if I was white? We're so in.
And they're like, boom, we got it. It's all we need to do.
When I become executive, I'm going to make Ryan manager.
And then the two of us are cleaning house.
I can't believe this took Dwight by surprise. I mean, of course, Ryan is going to have more puppeteering for Kelly than he would. I mean, he's been working for years at this.
Yeah. I mean, it is like another chapter in their story of whatever Kelly's story is, right? Like, none of this is surprising, I don't think. It shouldn't have been surprising for Dwight, that's for sure.
Also, Dwight assumes Kelly is stupid most of the time.
He does.
And she isn't, as she mentions at the end of the episode when she actually does get into the executive training program.
Thank you, Dwight.
Oh.
I'll never forget everything that you've done for me.
Gosh.
Because I never forget anything.
She knows why Dwight was doing what he was doing to have an advantage for himself. And also, Dwight tries to stop Kelly from getting into the program by finding some more minorities in the office. And he tries to recruit Oscar. He tries to recruit Stanley. And eventually he finds Hide down in the warehouse and brings him up. And I love that we get a little recap of Hide's story.
We get like one line and the documentarians cut away from it. Yeah, I do like that Stanley and Oscar, like, we're not going to double cross her. Like, we're not going up against Kelly. No way, man.
Dwight, we know Kelly applied. We're not going to cross her, no matter how good the program is.
They know what Kelly's capable of. Dwight seems to not know quite yet, but he certainly does learn by the end of the episode.
Kelly comes in for her interview. She's all dressed up. She mentions lots of cultural things to seem more in tune with her Indian culture than maybe she is day to day.
For hobbies, yoga, belly dancing, snake charming, beds of nails.
Gabe is psyched. He tells the camera that Tallahassee's going to be pleased that he, quote, snagged an Indian. It's like, what are you doing, Gabe? Don't talk like that. Yeah, I don't even want to like repeat the rest of what Gabe says because it's terrible.
I feel like the way The Office, the comedy writers, have done this episode, very much like the Diversity Day episode back in the very, very first season, it's shedding this light on kind of the ridiculous and extreme ways that corporations are trying to become more diverse, but really the outcome of it does nothing for anybody. As even Stanley says, he's like, I know these programs. They're absolutely ridiculous. It's like, I think that this show is shedding a light and making a joke and reveling in the comedy of how inappropriate and cringy these programs can be. Just like everything in The Office, right? Like the idea of the just head smacking, like corporate ridiculous perspective and how everything gets so just like diluted in any kind of meaning. And that's exactly what this training program is. And it makes sense that this is coming up now in this episode because we do have this brand new like corporate parent.
Yeah.
And now it's coming in with all of these little like, oh, helpful programs. So we seem more inclusive and wonderful and supportive of everyone. And it really does very little. I mean, the whole idea that they need to pick even one person to join in this, it's like a big deal.
What I'm offering is a ticket on a bullet train straight to middle management.
Dwight, I know these programs. Every color is important because together we make a rainbow.
Yes.
I'll slap you in the face with a rainbow.
Mm. I like that they brought this in. I love the way Kelly manipulates it a bit. And it does show up later on that the results of Kelly winning this prize of joining the program.
Yeah. And we get the sense that Sabre is a much larger company and Dunder Mifflin probably didn't have anything like this. And so, or if they did, it's maybe been in the past. Like Stanley clearly has some interaction with something like this because he sort of makes fun of it. But, you know, and the thing that's also kind of weird about it is Gabe is just trying to use it to better himself, right? Like, I don't think he's actually into this program, or maybe he is, but he sees it as a way to make his star shine a little brighter at corporate as well.
Yep.
It's like, you know, we learned earlier that Gabe basically has no power and like we're not even really sure what he's doing. And so he views this as a way to gain, you know, power in the office that he's over this, who gets into this program, but also look good in front of his bosses. Like, so Gabe's playing the game too.
Gabe also has no cultural awareness whatsoever about anybody. Like it was really funny how Kelly was so easily able to manipulate him and like dazzle him with her very basic knowledge of Indian culture, because she's not even that into it as we've seen as her character. And I think that that's really funny that she is very easily able to manipulate Gabe into feeling uncomfortable by just saying a few things that he might not understand.
Hello.
Very nice. I never noticed that before.
Sometimes my bangs cover it.
Yeah. I don't want to be offensive, but may I ask you what that means?
I do find that offensive, actually.
So Kelly ends up putting Dwight in his place as she now has the power in this situation, as she is going to be the executive being trained. And we should check in with Michael and Donna, because there is a moment where towards the end of the episode where Michael is kind of like, he's sad that it didn't work out. He seemed to have expected a lot more. I mean, in the very beginning of the episode, he says that him and Donna are in the middle of a love affair when it seems like she just called up and said, I want to come buy some printers. but he is disappointed it didn't work out because he was getting all these mixed signals all day.
Yeah. And that's where the universe, or Donna, or a coincidence, not even a coincidence, just a thing that happened, it turns out that she left a hair clip behind. A beret, I guess is what it's called.
A baguette.
He calls it a baguette, which is really a good Michaelism. And he's like, oh, she left this for me. She wants me to return it to her. It's the glass slipper kind of moment. And everyone in the office is like, including Pam, it's like, no, it's not what this is. You need to let this go.
She left this here? Okay. Maybe she wants me to return this to her at her work.
What?
No.
Yeah, this could be a signal. People don't just take barrettes off.
It's not a signal. It's just a coincidence. No, it's not even a coincidence. It's just something that happened.
Michael?
Oh.
She doesn't want you to return the barrette. She's not interested in you.
there was a scene of very, like, The Office very rarely leaves things in that are unintentional or unnecessary. The whole scene when she was leaving.
Did I get everything?
I don't know.
I think so.
She has a ton of lines about not leaving something behind. And then we find the baguette.
I missed that.
Barrett.
So, yeah. So this is a plant. She knows what she's doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a bit of a plant. And I feel like, you know, Michael took the bait. If I didn't hear those lines, though, I would be totally chiming in with everyone else. Like, don't. It's a barrette. You got to leave it.
So what you're saying is Pam was right.
I mean, come on. So anyway, let's take him out the door.
Okay. So as everyone's saying, this is not what's going on. He believes in love and he's going to run out the door and I guess get in his car and like go to her workplace. But turns out she's still there. She's sitting in her car. And
she calls out to him.
Yeah. Michael, my love. She doesn't say my love.
That was a good impression.
Thank
of
you. There you we know, go. I'm really known for my voice work.
It was on par with your Cookie Monster.
Hey, come on. I tried.
Sorry, I had to bring that up. No,
it was bad. It was really bad.
Michael.
Oh, you're still here. I have your baguette.
He goes over to her car and she's, listening as he says, everyone said that you were just flirting with me. I thought you were into me, but you weren't. And I think I get the sense that he's a bit embarrassed, maybe, or maybe he's hoping that it's true. And if he says it, she'll agree. I don't really know what his, like, where he is in that moment.
It seems like he's been gaining self-awareness throughout these episodes. So maybe this is his way of like apologizing for coming on pretty strong when they were up in the office. And he's actually just like returning this. And maybe it's a way of also kind of testing out the situation, because if he apologizes and she says like, no, I'm not interested, I'm sorry, or something like that, then he knows for sure. And so I guess this is where we're seeing Michael's maturity a little bit, where he's trying to fix the situation now that it's just the two of them.
Yeah, I could see that. I'll go with that. But she reveals that, no, he is right. And they go to Smoochtown right there in the parking lot.
Who?
You were right.
About what?
You were right.
Yeah, she pulls him into the car. Like, she reaches her hand out, gets him to lean down. Yeah, she goes for it.
No one believes it, though.
Michael does kiss and tell, and he comes bounding back into the office to tell everybody. He's met with the news that Kelly got into the program, and he congratulates her very quickly, but cannot hold it in about what happened to him, and he proclaims that they kissed and that she was into him, and that he went down there with the romantic gesture of returning her barrette, and she was still in the parking lot. But it kind of backfires on him because he's still holding the barrette in his hand, and so really no one believes him.
Yeah.
They're like, really?
I love that detail that he didn't actually give it to her, and they all stare at it. They're like, oh, Michael.
What happened?
Kelly got into the minority training program.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's such good news. I did it. I kissed. We kissed.
Ooh. Oh, Michael.
No, I'm serious. This happened. I went down to the parking lot, and I returned her barrette. We did.
Because he looks so delusional, but it's also, that's exactly why he forgot to give it to her, because they were making out in the parking lot.
I kind of thought, he says, well, I know that it happened. And I could have sworn that he was going to look at the camera and be like, and you know that it happened.
That would have been a nice touch.
It would have been a nice touch. But no one believes him. And that bothers him.
You know what? It doesn't matter, because I know it happened, and that is all that counts. I did do it!
I'm sure he will find another way to reveal to the office that he has this incredibly new hot love interest.
Oh, yeah. He can't keep it to himself.
I mean, she is really hot, I gotta say. Are we ending right there with me saying that she's hot?
So.
No, we can't. We can't do that. How dare
next
you?
Next week.
Hot or not, Steven? Hot or not?
She is hot. Next week, the cover-up. It's going to be good.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. And be sure to go and follow us over at tall_beats or find us individually at ISMH or Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to our members-only bonus feed and join us in the conference room, our members-only Slack. And we'll be back talking about the next episode, the cover-up, next week.
There's a lot to go in the last 3 episodes of this season.
Yeah, that's true. We're amping up here. It's gonna be
explosive.
That's what she said.
And scene.
Kelly will be even worse than Daryl. If you'd have told me this morning that today I'd be creating a monster capable of my own destruction, I'd have thought you were referring to the bull Mose and I are trying to reanimate.